just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
My thanks to Hooters for their continuing presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, which they've been doing for six seasons now. This is episode 33 of season 7 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, distributed by JoeBucksFan.com. Those guys are very good to me. You can find this podcast also on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Stitcher. If you have any problems at all, remember my email, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com for fantasy questions or questions about the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Social media, I'm on Instagram at ToddWright2121 and on Twitter at ToddWright2121. Recording this, episode 33, just before lunchtime on Monday, so I will be ignorant to the two Monday night games in this podcast as I review the 28 other teams that have already played week two NFL action, whether it was the Thursday game on Amazon Prime or Sunday action across the various networks. How'd you do? Yeah? Already dealing with injuries? Other things? Thinking trades? Drops? Ads? Now is about the time you can start drawing some conclusions. Yeah. And for those of you who waited and invested in Trey Lance, pretty simple. Try to get yourself Garoppolo. Yeah. He can get you by. I know. I used him a lot in winning a league championship last year. And while I don't have hard data to back it up so far, there aren't a lot of quarterbacks throwing for multiple touchdown games so far this season. I think it's down. All right, but let's just talk about each of the Thursday, Sunday games, and I'll give you one thing that stands out from the game from a fantasy standpoint per team. Now, I'm sure there are other things here. If I don't cover a player you want me to cover, when you say, Todd, how could you ignore? I'm not ignoring, just, you know, I don't want the podcast to go 45 minutes. So it's kind of one thought per team based on what happened in week two for every Thursday or Sunday game here. If I don't cover something you need, that's why you email me, write.todd@yahoo.com. I'll be happy to give you a second opinion there. Chargers, look at Mike Williams. You know, one of the top 15 pass catchers in fantasy scoring last year. A lot of it was early, then he dropped off, but then he sort of stabilized as he went along. And clearly, Justin Herbert likes Mike Williams. You got to like that line from the Thursday night game, even in a loss to Kansas City, 8 for 113 and 1, not impacted by Keenan Allen missing the game. For Kansas City, those of you who invested in Juju Smith-Schuster and have been using him as a starting wide receiver or flex play may need to reevaluate until further notice. He looks like just another guy out there other than Travis Kelce in terms of pass catchers. And Mahomes may prefer Clyde Edwards-Helaire or guys out of the backfield rather than Schuster. New England got a win at Pittsburgh. Yeah, Aguilar had a 100-yard game. I'm not going to get too excited about that. New England right now from a fantasy standpoint is a focus on the timeshare between Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson. Damian touched it 19 times. Ramondre had 10 touches, so it's almost 2-1 Damian Harris. And Damian Harris, the most touchdown-dependent running back in fantasy last year. Granted, he did have, 11 rushing touchdowns? He got one in this game. So he got you double-digit points. The volume vacuum with the bad foot, Najee Harris, 20 touches, 89 yards. Pittsburgh's offense is struggling. The clock may be ticking on Trubisky to go to Pickett. Mike Tomlin is going to win his share of games with this team. But yeah, offensively, granted, they're 1-1. That's what Mike Tomlin does. He'll win some games, you're like, how the hell did he do that? And he loses some games, you're like, this team stinks. Najee Harris, though, only thing of fantasy relevance right now going on in Pittsburgh. Nearly got you double-digit points, even when he's hurt and even with a bad offensive line. If you want to own Najee Harris, now might be a good time to make a trade offer to someone who has him and is disillusioned by Najee's production. Carolina, run CMC. Better than week one. Week one was serviceable. Week two, 19 touches, 128 yards, and in a loss. For the Giants, who got a second win, Barkley, much less than last week, but still heavily involved. 24 touches for Saquon Barkley as the only fantasy-relevant player on the Giants, 88 yards. New York Jets, you know I'm anti-Jets. I did see Breece Hall's touch count significantly more than Michael Carter. Hall even caught a touchdown. Flacco threw four of them. No, I didn't waste time watching a Jets-Browns game. But Corey Davis, second week in a row. I know it's only two receptions for 83 yards and a touchdown, but Davis did enough in week one to sort of merit desperate waiver wire thoughts. He's probably still there. Look at it this way. You'd have been a lot better off playing Corey Davis the first 2 weeks than Juju Smith-Schuster. Take it from me. Cleveland, Nick Chubb. Maybe I should have taken my own advice in the podcast league. Somehow in the podcast league, Nick Chubb fell to the 26th overall pick. 26th, 14-team league. So back end, near the back end of the second round. The captain grabbed him. Captain drafted a good team. But yeah, I should have taken my own advice. Not that I'm complaining about what Tyreek Hill did in week two or what Travis Kelce did in week one. That's just the way fantasy works. Chubb, 20 touches, 113 yards, three TDs. He got the TDs that Kareem Hunt got week one. Indianapolis, well, without Michael Pittman, they don't seem to have a passing offense. Matt Ryan and that entire gang of Colts pass catchers sucked. And it trickled down to Jonathan Taylor, who suffered as a result of the game flow. And the Jags just, I didn't waste a lot of time watching this game either, but that Jags coaching staff probably smart enough to be like, all right, here's seven or eight in the box. Throw. We know you're without your best pass catcher. You got Jonathan Taylor. We're going to make you throw. And the Colts had nothing. From a Jacksonville standpoint, Christian Kirk, this is 2 weeks in a row. So I had this wrong last week. Christian Kirk's reputation is one big week, and then he disappears for 3 to 6 weeks. Two good games in a row for Kirk. Trevor Lawrence may like him. Doug Peterson may like him. Six catches, 78 yards, two touchdowns for Christian Kirk. Miami-Baltimore, obviously, this was a fantasy fest. If you had a piece of this action, and as someone who is heavily invested in Tyreek Hill, I love the fourth quarter. But Jaylen Waddle, who had over 100 grabs last year in a previous and inferior coaching regime, doesn't seem to be a downgrade with Tyreek Hill on the field because the Dolphins don't have really any discernible running attack. Just kind of like last year, even though they changed pretty much all the running backs. Even though Tyreek Hill gets all the headlines, Waddle had the game-winning touchdown. Waddle has scored in both games, and in this game, 11 for 171. and two touchdowns. And I like the waddle after he does things. Baltimore. Mark Andrews did get in the end zone, for those of you who invested in him. At this point, you know, J.K. Dobbins missed the first two games. Until further notice, stop worrying about any other Ravens running back, because Dobbins was someone you drafted. At this point, you're probably just hanging on to him, like, when the hell is he going to play? But I would imagine other Ravens running backs have been picked up on waivers. Don't bother. They're not worthwhile. They're just not. Lamar's going to run the ball. He did. Why did he do a flip again in a week two game? That's where you hurt yourself last year for the entire season, Lamar, although this was less of a flip. Yeah, it's either going to be, and they'll get Gus off PUP, but stop with any of the, quote, healthy running backs for the Ravens. They're not worth it. Tampa Bay, second game in a row, Tom Brady throws one touchdown. And the Bucs offense scores one touchdown. This could be an issue. And let's face it, they don't have a head coach who can fix it. Now, Bruce Arians is still involved, but if the NFL comes down on him for yelling at Marshawn Lattimore from the sidelines, Arians may not be as involved on game day. You don't talk to other teams' players if you're a head coach or a manager. You don't. Michael Thomas, second game in a row, he gets in the end zone in a horrible game for Jameis and the Saints. I don't know how much Jameis is going to be able to keep playing. He's got basically broken bones in his back. I already picked up Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill can only do so much, but I know in Yahoo leagues he's listed as a quarterback and a tight end. So if Taysom Hill becomes the starting quarterback of the Saints, I could play him at tight end and basically have the equivalent of a second quarterback and a third running back playing at the tight end position. I just don't know how long Jameis can keep this job health-wise or after performances like he had against the Bucs where he threw the game away. Washington, second good week for Curtis Samuel, probably one of the more popular waiver wire pickups of week one. I wanted to get in on that. I didn't have the waiver priority to do it, but I was happy to get Jahan Dotson, who scored again, but Samuel, 8 touches, 99 yards, and a touchdown. The Redskins may not have what they want to run the ball right now, or just feel, let's just throw it. You can't learn a lot about two games against Jacksonville and Detroit in terms of how you are, but maybe they feel better about going through the air than on the ground, based on the unfortunate situation involving the Alabama running back not being able to go to start the year. But he seems to be rehabbing nicely. Goff, dare we go here. Now, the Lions had 3 rushing touchdowns in week one, but Goff threw 4 touchdowns and 250-plus yards in week two against Washington. If you are a Trey Lance owner, Goff might be someone you pick up to get you by for this week or a week or two, because Detroit's put up a ton of points the first two games. I think both were home games, right? So that helps. I doubt it'll last, but he does have Amon-Ra St. Brown. I would expect some Trey Lance owners to consider Goff as a stopgap this week. DK Metcalf, 4 touches, 35 yards in Seattle's at San Francisco. Nothing else good was going on there. San Francisco, next man up was Jeff Wilson. I had him in multiple leagues. I played him in one of the leagues. Not bad. Double-digit points. 20 touches, 103 yards. Of note, another backup running back for the Niners ran it 14 times for 33 yards, TDP. But Wilson stayed healthy, so Wilson gets the call again next week, and Garoppolo had a quarterback sneak with Wilson on the field late. The Niners are just much better off with Garoppolo at quarterback. I don't know what they do at the end of the year, because Garoppolo could play well enough where they basically are like, okay, are we going to do this again? Or are we just going to re-sign Jimmy Garoppolo, realize that we're better off with him at quarterback, and we trade Trey Lance? It's unfortunate Trey Lance got hurt. It wasn't a dirty play. It wasn't I can't watch that. It was kind of a normal play. And in the 4+ quarters he played this year, prior to that, the Niners had very little going offensively. They're better off with Jimmy G. I feel bad for Lance and his busted ankle, but maybe this just wasn't meant to be. Atlanta. Oh, you Kyle Pitts apologist. Guess it wasn't just 1 week, was it? Week 2, 2 catches, 19 yards. Sound familiar? Rams. Those of you who invested in Cam Akers as an RB1 or RB2 or Allen Robinson as a starting wide receiver, this is what you were looking for. Akers touched the ball 17 times. Allen Robinson, 4 catches, 53 yards, and an early touchdown, as if it was a priority in the meeting rooms when they reviewed the game tape from the Buffalo game, just how Stafford never looked at Robinson because he was under duress from the Buffalo pass rush. They got Allen Robinson involved early. Arizona, James Conner ankle injury. He has a history of ankle injuries. Not sure at this point when we're recording this what this means for week 3. Darrell Williams, 8 touches, 59 yards, and a touchdown. The best guy in relief of Conner in Arizona's comeback that proves Josh McDaniels is the same Josh McDaniels that failed as head coach of the Denver Broncos. And Devontae Adams caught a touchdown early and then nothing. As far as I know, he didn't get hurt. I'll look, but as far as I know, he didn't get hurt. 2 for 12 and 1 and couldn't get enough out of Josh Jacobs to keep the chains moving and the clock running. That is as bad as the Baltimore loss is, and that's a new defensive coordinator in Baltimore that they hired from the Michigan Wolverines. So clearly that defensive coordinator with the Ravens in the fourth quarter was using the same defensive game plan that he used against Georgia in the Orange Bowl. And from the Vegas standpoint, gagging that game against an uninterested Arizona Cardinal team, that's really bad. Really bad. Loser Lovie Smith doesn't win for the second week in a row. This time he does lose. They don't score a touchdown. He did get Damian Pierce the ball, which he said he regretted from week 1, but it was totally at the expense of Rex Burkhead, who somehow didn't carry the ball once. And he was one of your – he touched the ball, I think, 19 times in week 1. That's what you get with loser Lovie Smith. Again, kind of a serviceable game from Brandon Cooks if you were desperate. That's all that's going in Houston. Denver, who won the game, Judy got hurt, check status. The touch distribution of the two backs, Javonte touched it 18 times, Gordon touched it 11 times. Cincinnati, bad offensive line there. 2 losses, not a good start for the Bengals. Don't give me they're close games. Mm-hmm. Ask Scott Frost about that. T. Higgins, though, way to come back from a concussion. 6 for 71 and 1. Had the late touchdown that put the Bengals in a tie game late. Dallas, there's Tony Pollard for you. 13 touches, 98 yards, and a touchdown. Matthew Berry did have one thing wrong. That just because it was a Cooper Rush game, keep Dalton Schultz in the lineup. Nope. That did not work out. I did not play Dalton Schultz. I wanted no part of the Cowboys offense this week in the first game without Dak and without offensive line. It was a win, and nothing to get real excited about in Dallas. Chicago, Green Bay, Justin Fields. 7 of 11 for 70 yards, no touchdowns and a pick. It's a September game at Lambeau Field. No precipitation, no snow. And the game flow said, throw the ball. Now I'll admit, I don't think he has anybody worthwhile to throw to. But this is why I want nothing to do with Justin Fields at all. And until the Bears actually coach him up, if he responds to actual coaching or get somebody else, they're not doing anything with him. Just like no NFL team has ever done anything with any Ohio State quarterback, ever. And Justin Fields, well, you know, his legs, 8 rushes, 20 yards. What is that exciting? David Montgomery looked fantastic. Really did. A decent quarterback puts up better numbers in that game flow against Green Bay. Green Bay's and David Montgomery's running the ball. Green Bay's like, yeah, we got to stop David Montgomery now. So let Justin Fields throw it in man coverage or against zones. He doesn't have it. Aaron Jones, big game. Couple of times in the end zone. Apparently Aaron Rodgers wanted more Sammy Watkins in this game. He got it. Granted, Watkins, I think, only had 3 catches. But the running backs, they touched the ball significantly. They were on the field together. Aaron Jones had 18 touches. A.J. Dillon had 19 touches. All right. Anyone I didn't cover, email me at write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Remember, when you're listening to this, I'm recording it before the 2 Monday night games are played, so the significance of those Monday night games will be covered in the podcast later this week. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters, with a big thanks as well to Bill Curry Ford and Brandon Legal Group.